Stay right here. Am I on? All right. Okay, I kind of dropped the bomb in Mike Garrow's lap today when I said that lunch was an anonymous. It's not quite anonymous, so I had to pull a fast one. Today's lunch is sponsored by Matt and Lisa Bruns. It is Stan's cousin that they made a generous donation to sponsor lunch to honor his mother who passed away on November 19th. We didn't want to put him in the spot of having to announce that, and so we protected you.
Thank you.
All right. First thing we need to do right now, I know Stan just prayed, but I always feel better if I can pop another quick prayer before we start. So if you would bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that you would use your Holy Spirit to fill this gym. I pray that it would come through like a tidal wave and we would just be soaked in it. I pray for the power of your message, the power of your Holy Spirit, the power of your word. I just pray that anything that the men hear is from you and nothing from me, God. I want it all to be you. I want you to be glorified. I want you to be lifted up so that you can draw all men to yourself. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Think about something for a second. Think about any Colts fans remaining. Yeah, so there's a few of us left. Think about all that what everybody went through getting ready for the big AFC Championship game last weekend, especially the ones going to the stadiums. All the preparation that you do to get ready for the football games, you know they're putting on their jerseys, they're painting their faces up, they put their eye black on, you tailgate. I even have one of the balls that yeah. I don't know, I kind of look like Tom Brady when I threw it, and I look like the Colts when you threw it back and I dropped it. This is one of the balls that they used. When you go to the football game and you're all dressed up and you get in there and you're all pumped up and you look down at the end zone, what is one thing that you always see at every football game? John 3:16. Everyone, whether they are a follower, whether they're a believer, whether they're a churchgoer, most people probably know what John 3:16 says. What's it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him would not, but would. Right. That is a good reminder when we see that at a football game. We see it so often, though, it's easy to overlook it, right? We see it and we go, oh, I know what that is, and we move on. What if you went to a football game? And you look down, you get all ready, you go to the game, you're sitting there, you look down the end zone. I'm all excited. Luke 9:23. Now, if you're a Bible scholar, you can recite that, you can recite it in context, you can probably quote it in Greek. I don't know. But Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, they need to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and what?
Follow me.
That is what this book is about that we're studying this semester, that we're taking our story, our messages out of. Jesus is not looking for fans. He doesn't want us to put on our church jersey and go to church and pretend like we're big fans and then desert him in the fourth quarter. He wants a follower. He wants someone where Jesus says, if anyone come after me, deny, pick up, and follow. John 3:16 is about believing. And for us, our natural tendency is that we want a relationship with Jesus, right? We want to be close to Him. The problem is, we want it on our terms. We want Jesus in our way, on our time, in the dosage that we want. Believe. That is Jesus on our terms. What does Jesus want? Jesus wants a relationship with us on His terms. What's His terms? Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, they must pick up their cross, and they must be a fan? No. No, of course not. They must follow me. If anyone, who is anyone? In the Bible, there's a story of Matthew, one of the disciples. You may know the story. He was a tax collector. He was a traitor. He turned his back on the Jewish people, where he started collecting taxes from the Jews to give to the Romans. His other name was Levi. He may have had this expectation put on him when he was born. Levites were the priests of the temple. They were the ones that cared for the temple. They are the ones that serve God on our behalf. So if you're born with that type of name, what do you think that expectation is? I would expect that it'd be pretty high. So Matthew probably grew up with this expectation of possibly being a priest in the temple. Whatever his life was like, whatever circumstances he went through, he got to a point where he said, I'm trading teams. I'm going on to the other side. My guess is that he suffered some disappointments and some pain, and probably got to a point where he said, it's not worth it. Why even try? Why try? You ever felt that way? Whether it's a job or whether it's a diet or whether it's a marriage, you get to a point and you go, why try? You ever got one of these? Of course you do. You got them in your mailbox waiting on you right now when you get home. It's a credit card application. You get those. And guess what? You're already approved. You've been accepted. And when you look at it, and it says you've been accepted, what do you see right next to the accepted? There's a little asterisk right there, isn't there? And what's that mean? I don't care what Merriam-Webster Dictionary says and defines it as. What it means is you better go find the fine print. See what it says. Get to the fine print, find out. So you are approved and you're accepted. You go to the fine print and it says, WAC, with approved credit. Because the truth is, the bank doesn't care about you. Credit card company doesn't care about you. They care about what you want to buy. They care about your selfishness. They want to give you a way to feed that. And they want to do it on their terms. They don't care. There's an asterisk. It's based on your performance, your past history, your credit report. That's what it's based on. They decide if you're good enough. You're accepted. You're approved. And we know that's not true. And for some of us, the pain comes when we get these things in the mail. And we have credit problems, or we have bankruptcy histories, we have financial issues in our marriages or in our lives, and we see this, and it's just a stupid reminder what kind of failure we are, right? It just reminds us how far we've fallen and that you're right. I'm the asterisk. I will never measure up. Because of my past, I will never qualify. But then Jesus comes along and he says, if anyone. And if you look real close, that's red letter in the Bible, by the way. You look real close, there's no asterisk in the Bible. There's nothing. He says, if anyone, anyone besides me ever felt that way? Felt like I'm not good enough to qualify? I'm not. My past, God could never forgive me. I could never forgive myself. I have that. I know that feeling. Because in college, I wasn't the very best student. It wasn't because I wasn't smart. I was in honors college and I had a small scholarship. But I was so, this is stupid. This is absolutely stupid and immature on my part. I was so afraid of failure that I didn't try. I guess I figured that if I don't try, then I can't fail. Then I can't blame myself for falling short. So I didn't try like I should have. I didn't do the homework like I should have. I didn't have the tough conversations that I should have. And I didn't graduate when I should have. And for years, I carried that guilt and that shame and the pain, the disappointment of letting my parents down, letting my family down, because I didn't measure up. I didn't qualify. There's an asterisk by my name. I wasn't good enough. And in 1990, I came to understand how much God loves me. I came to understand God's forgiveness. I came to understand that His grace covers all of that. And on February 16, 1990, 10:36 in the morning, in a 1985 light blue Honda Civic, at the off-ramp of Highway 26 and 69, as I was headed to Muncie, I pulled over. And I gave my life to God. I accepted Christ right then. But it's not about me in that situation. It's about what God did. It's about His forgiveness. And it's about His grace. And how it can overshadow everything that we've done. And because I understood that, finally, I accepted it. Finally, because logically it doesn't make sense that if God knows what kind of creep I've been, that He would forgive me. It doesn't make sense. But the truth doesn't have to. And the truth is that God loves you enough to forgive you and to shower His grace on you and receive forgiveness. And I did that. And because of that, because of His love, His grace, His forgiveness, and the loving support of my family, I got to this point. The asterisk that I've been carrying around for so long has turned into a symbol of victory for me. And I'm guessing that every one of us has an asterisk that we're carrying around to some degree that we need to say, no more asterisks. God's love, His grace, His forgiveness covers it all. It covers it all. It's time to get rid of the asterisk and claim the victory in the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ, because He paid too high a price for us to disregard it. Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for what?
Followers.
What do you have to do to be a follower? Are you an anyone? Now that's what Jesus says. If anyone. If anyone. Are you divorced? Anyone. Addict? Anyone. Alcoholic? Anyone. Hypocrite? Anyone. Flunked out? Anyone. Cheater? Anyone. Anyone. No asterisk. Anyone who would come after me would deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. Imagine you guys are probably thinking the same thing I thought and the same thing that Matthew thought. Because I just pictured, I picture Matthew sitting in his tax collector's booth, and every time a Jew came by to pay taxes, I don't imagine they thanked him for taking their money. They probably had some snide comment, some harsh remark, "You lousy traitor. Paying you, you're one of us, and you went to the dark side." Every time he collected money from a Jew, it was a reminder of the type of failure he was. It was a reminder of the asterisk that was by his name. And then in Matthew 9:9, the game changed. Because it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Hey, will you be my fan?" Okay, maybe that's my paraphrase. He didn't say be a fan. He didn't say, "Hey, would you like me a little bit? Hey, you want to hang out?" He said, "Follow me. Follow me." So here's a guy sitting at his tax booth. We're sitting at a table in a gymnasium. I'm sitting in a Honda Civic at the corner of 69 and 26. And I'm faced with a decision. You're faced with a decision. Matthew, faced with a decision. I know where I've been. I've known all the things that I've done. You take them, you pile them up, you put them on this side of the scale. But here's a guy that he seems sincere. He's just by the way he talks to me, I can tell he loves me. I can tell that. And he's saying, "Follow me." We got all our junk on one side. Jesus saying, "Follow me," on the other side of the scale. And what does the scale do? Boom! No comparison. No comparison. And it says Matthew got up and he followed him. And in that day, one of the reasons that that is so significant, because when a rabbi had followers, when they had disciples they were training, and rabbis were known, they were the scholars of the day, they were very selective on who followed. So when you put it in that context, for a rabbi to go to a student and say, "Follow me," instead of a student going to a rabbi saying, "Can I follow you? Can I live with you? Can I stay with you?" For a rabbi to say, "Follow me," was just totally countercultural. But Jesus did it, and Matthew did it. And for us, it's that simple. It's simple. Follow me. God, we have got to move from belief to following. We want to live in here as a fan. There's no in here. There's no in between. We've got to move from belief to following. Jesus wants followers, not fans. It's that simple. It's extremely difficult. But when Jesus says, if anyone, if Jeffrey, if Jeff, if Matt, if Carl, if Dick, if anyone would come after me and deny themselves and pick up their cross daily and follow me, that's every one of us. He wants you as a follower. He's got enough fans. My name is Dick Sanborn, and I am not a fan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, for John 3:16, and I thank you for Luke 9:23. I thank you for everything in between. And I pray, oh God, that you would minister right here in this room, in this place today, that our hearts would be open to you, and that we realize, God, that the feelings that we have of the asterisks by our name, and the hopelessness that we might feel because of our past, nothing compares to the love and grace and forgiveness that you offer. So I pray that every man that is in this room and every man that will hear this, God, will receive the forgiveness, receive the grace, and live in that, God, as they become followers. That you would teach each one of us to grow to be a follower. That you would teach each of us to honor you and to glorify you with our life. God, we praise your name. We thank you so much. We pray it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.